Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air. Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Go, kid, let's go.
Two.
Start the show. Start the show.
One.
Good Monday morning. Good Monday morning. Good Monday morning. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. Thank you for listening. So excited you're here with me. I'm so excited for everyone who's been listening and been sharing the show online. You guys are freaking awesome, and I love you. Hopefully, we can make you laugh again today. I have a really awesome co-host with me today. Say hi, co-host.
What's going on?
Now, your name is Chris Frank, but
it is.
I've never called you that. I've always called you Hoss.
Pretty much everybody in this city does.
Is it okay if I call you Hoss?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's really weird for me to call you Chris.
You can call me whatever you want.
And who started calling you Hoss?
It started actually with our program director.
Back at the Point?
Yes.
Okay.
And because I was a morning show intern for at the time, Jeff, Trish, and Tom, and they needed a name for me.
Yes.
And I was, for one show, I was Getzlav. For whatever reason.
Yeah.
And our PD was like, that is way too many consonants and vowels. We need one syllable. How about Hoss? And I was like, man, Hoss from Bonanza? And it stuck.
Well, it stuck forever. So you and I met as baby interns in radio.
Yeah.
Was it the summer of 98?
97 or 98.
97 or 98. You and I are baby interns.
Promo interns.
Yeah, at 105.7 The Point.
Yep.
Which was like the awesomest and worst job to ever have.
Because,
you know, you're at 105.7 The Point, which was like the coolest station in town. But you are at, you know, Riverport at 6 in the morning hanging up 25 banners for...
Can we talk about the banners real quick?
Yeah.
Kids nowadays don't realize... Those banners the kids have now that they're putting on, they come on a roll on their vinyl.
Are you kidding? We had zip ties.
And ours came in giant paper, like huge bulk things.
That we had to carry.
Like if you
up
look
that
at a
hill.
Ream, if, imagine a ream of printer paper, but like 35 by 20.
Yeah.
And one person would have to lug those up a hill while someone else like zip tied them. And then 10 minutes after gates open, they're all ripped down.
Yes.
And you're like, well, there goes the last hour and a half of work that I did down the drain.
And so I have, and I'm going to have to pull it out. I have a whole scrapbook of all of the pictures that we took that summer as Point interns. And we have one picture. Now, the reason you're called Hoss is because you're like the size of a Bigfoot. Like,
yeah, I'm pretty big.
Literally, like how tall are you?
7 foot.
Okay. And I'm like 5 foot. And so, you know, 15 years ago, we took this picture in the Point Studios back to back, and it was so cute. And we're like so young, and you know, you're
really
like you're like a Sasquatch, and I'm like a midget. And so then a couple of weeks ago, we're at a trivia night, and you were on our table, and I'm like, oh, Chris, it'd be so funny if we recreate this picture. And then I took it, and I'm like, oh my god, we are fat and old.
Yep.
I'm like, don't ever like take pictures 15 years later and try to compare them because
it's
not cute.
No, it looks like we melted.
Like it looks like we melted horizontally.
Oh yeah. You can be like your posture's out. I'm like, that's not posture. That's just fat.
So how about later today? Whenever I post the show, I will post our old picture at the Point so people can see who's co-hosting the show with me. So I'll definitely do the old one now. Chris, I have to say that, you know, you came over to my house last night because we knew you were going to be on the show this morning.
Oh, yeah.
So we wanted to co-watch the MTV VMAs this morning. I can still smell the fireball breath between you and my husband because every time we saw Miley Cyrus's tongue or Taylor Swift dancing awkwardly, you guys drank fireball.
That was a lot.
Now I'm left this morning. The only thing I could think of when I woke up this morning was, and I want your honest answer. If you're driving down the street in a Mack truck and Kanye West is on one side of the road and Miley Cyrus is on the other, and you can only run over one of them, which one do you flatten?
I think I'm going to play it like a split in bowling.
Yeah.
And
try to like
and hit Kanye on the outside so that he ricochets across and takes out Miley.
That would be an amazing feat. And, you know, every year, you know, people like us in our 30s, we watch the VMAs. We feel like dinosaurs, you know. And I'm like a young in my 30s. Like, I still watch young shows. I get it. But, God, I hate Kanye West.
Well, you know what I think is even crazier? And we talked about this when I first showed up last night. Was remember when the VMAs were it was destination television. Like, you cleared your schedule for the VMAs.
It was a national holiday in the Mano house. I mean, we would hire babysitters. Even when Jimmy and I were dating, people knew when the VMAs were on that I was having a party, and I was just obsessed with it. And now it's almost, it's turned into a joke.
Well, I made this comment to Jimmy last night that I said, the sad thing is the state of MTV. MTV has about as much business airing a music award show as ESPN does.
Right.
Neither one of them have really anything to do with music anymore.
No, they don't. And to
the VMA should be on YouTube.
No, and MTV should be embarrassed that they even brought Kanye on to give him this award just for him to trash them, throw it in their face. I mean, what are they thinking? They know what they're getting when they bring him up there.
Oh, they do, and it's a very calculated risk. You know that he's going to trash you. You know that he's going to say outlandish crap, which he did. I can understand he got the Video Vanguard Award for those people who maybe didn't watch last night, which is, it's sort of like the Lifetime Achievement Award for music videos, which it's called the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award. Obviously, people of our age remember growing up with Beat It, Thriller, all these amazing videos.
Yeah.
Kanye's videos are always extraordinarily well-produced, visually stunning. They're, with the exception of the one with him and Kim on a bike, which was just a horrible publicity stunt.
Listen, talk about his videos all you want. Kanye,
he's a horrible person.
He is like the most vile, disgusting person on the planet.
He's the definition of narcissist.
And then he married Kim Kardashian, who is like the most disgusting woman on the planet. I mean, yes, we know she's hot.
No, she's not.
She's disgusting. And they're producing. I mean, those got to be like spawns of Satan.
Those kids are going to be horrendous to deal with.
Horrendous. Like, literally. Can you imagine? Like, those two are reproducing. The two most awful people on the planet are having children. And people give them awards.
Someone needs to check those kids for sixes. Because I guarantee you they're on their body somewhere.
It's like the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we could talk about what an idiot Kanye is all day. There were some highlights of the show. Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift opened the show. They were pretty cute. At least they sang live.
Yes, which is uncommon in today's era.
Right. And, you know, Nicki Minaj totally called out Miley Cyrus,
which was awesome.
Hysterical.
And Miley gave it back.
Well, you know what? I can't stand Miley.
I can't either.
The girl lives her life trying too hard. Like someone like, and I love people who push the envelope. I love edgy people. I grew up in the days of Madonna. So I love people who will push it to a certain edge. But she is just like a little kid trying to get attention.
Yes. And there is a massive difference between how Madonna was controversial and Miley.
Yeah.
When Madonna did it, there was still a tease to it.
It was subtle.
At the day, you're like, oh my God, that's so shocking. But it was still, in as much as it revealed, it was still subtle and you didn't fully see behind the curtain. Right. With Miley, it's like, we get it. You really like weed and you really like sex.
Right.
And stop trying.
With Madonna, everybody was like, oh my God, did you see what Madonna did? But with Miley, she's like, oh my God, look at what I'm doing. Like, she just tries so damn hard.
Well, I also think that is a byproduct of that whole generation.
Yeah.
This, you know, you're seeing now this first generation of kids who grew up in the pay attention to me.
You're right.
Generation
you're right.
Coming of age.
Absolutely.
And they don't know how to share a spotlight.
Nope.
They don't want to.
Nope.
It is all, I want everything. And if I don't, I'm going to whine and whine and throw a fit until I do.
And what the hell was wrong with everybody crying? We got Justin Bieber crying. We got Kanye West crying in the middle of history. Why? Does anybody know why Justin Bieber was crying?
He's just a very sensitive boy.
Well, first of all, he's getting hot again. I mean, he went through his douchebag stage.
Sure.
And I'm in a room full of men, so I don't expect anybody to agree with me. But Justin Bieber, I do think that he is genuinely trying to put things back together.
I think so.
So maybe those emotions came out because he feels like this is his time to return. He's making music again. He's on MTV again.
Sure.
And so that's fine. But really, you got to cry.
Yeah, I you have to wonder, and I hate to say it, but you have to wonder how much of that is real emotion and how much of that is planned.
The first thing I thought was he planned this.
Sure.
He planned a breakdown in tears. Like it wasn't genuine.
Yeah. Well.
But he was still hot, so.
I mean, it's kind of my job is to manufacture stuff. So I'm very cynical whenever I see real emotion. Like even during the Kanye speech.
Yes.
And I unbelievably agreed with, I bet you, 85% of what Kanye said last night.
Oh, are you going to vote for him for president?
Absolutely not.
Maybe him and Donald Trump can run together.
Oh, my God. The country would light on fire.
Yes. Well, you know, at least Justin came out and he sang and he danced. And he did well.
Yes.
I thought he did good.
I thought he did good, too.
I thought he did. You almost lost your mind when Britney Spears came out.
Oh, God, I love her so much.
Still?
Yeah.
Did you even love her through, like, 2008?
Uh-huh. I mean, she like was
the,
bonkers.
Like the bald head umbrella.
I've met her twice in my life.
Yeah?
Once during the Toxic tour, when it was like the height of Britney mania.
Sure.
And I was living in Chicago, and a friend of mine was her record rep at Jive.
Yeah.
And snuck me into the meet and greet and did not tell me this was going to happen.
Ugh.
But talked to Britney and said, when we get into the room, there's going to be a giant of a man in the room. Who thinks
a Sasquatch.
Who thinks you were the hottest thing that God has ever created. If you flirt with him a little bit, he's going to turn into a three-year-old. And I totally did.
Yeah, what did she say to you?
You're so tall, you're so cute. And I literally, like, if my mom had been there for me to hide behind her knee and peek out, I was just like shuffling my feet looking at him and like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You're pretty and stuff.
Well, yeah, you definitely enjoyed the Britney Spears. I enjoyed the Justin Bieber. And so it was a good night overall. I did like a lot of the stuff that I heard. But, you know, it was just, again, the VMAs, more jokes, still the same stuff. Hang on, I got a little button to push here. There we go. There's my break music. God, you're going to hate all my music today,
no,
aren't you?
I love music.
You won't?
I love pop music.
I know you're like a rock
I'm
guy.
I'm a rock guy, but I like hip hop. I like good pop music, and that's the difference.
Well, I think I play good stuff. So
I think you do.
Thank you for listening to segment one of the Kelly Mano Radio Show. We're going to be back in just a minute.
You know why? Thug 'em, fuck 'em, love 'em, leave 'em, because I don't need 'em. Take 'em out the hood. Good, but I don't beat them. First time they bust, I'm breezing. Talking about what's the reason. I'm a pimp in every sense of the word. Better trust and believe them. In the cut where I keep them. Till I need to be the Gus Dennis. Beep, beep, and I'm picking them up. Let them play with the truck. Many chicks want to put chicken fist in cup. Divorce them and split his bucks. Just because you got good, I'ma break bread so you could be living it up. Did I
part with the Kelly Mano Show. The princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
Rob the jewelry store and tell her make me a grill. Add a whole top diamond in the bottom rose gold.
It is the Kelly Mano Show on a Monday morning. How are you doing? Co-hosting with my buddy Chris Frank that I call Hoss. How you doing, Hoss?
I'm good. I worked this record.
You did?
Yep. Okay.
I really thought you were going to hate all my music. I even put a little bit of Guns N' Roses in here for you.
I love you.
I might play it later. We'll see if I can pull myself away from the rap. But first, we have some business to take care of. The Manos are moving. It is no secret. We've been talking about it with all of our friends and family. And I have been spending the entire summer hanging out with Rachel Witt from Remax. We met her by chance at an open house and instantly liked her personality, which is really important when you're working with a real estate agent. Because if they get on your nerves, it's no fun. Because you spend a lot of time with them. She is a veteran in the business. 13 years under her belt. She has a team of 6 people who work with her. Rachel is all about the service, not just the sale. We absolutely love her. And let's face it, right now, a lot of people are underwater on their house right now, or what some people call upside down, which means they owe more on it than it's worth. She can help you with that. She can walk you through how to get out of that. So if you are selling a home with her, she doesn't just do the photos. She does these amazing videos. I actually think her husband's the one who does them. It's like you're touring a house in real life. And it's not just a slideshow, but it's actually videos of the home. So nobody can sell a home like Rachel Witt. She's absolutely amazing. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, call the Rachel Witt team today. Her number is 636-720-3836. Hoss, what's that number again?
636-720-3836.
Yes, or her website is homesalesinstcharles.com. If you contact her, please tell her that Kelly Mano sent her, because I don't know if you realize this, but this is how I make money. Chris, I actually got my first radio paycheck the other day.
Congratulations.
Now listen, there's been a lot of scrutiny over this. Jimmy, will you go get my new shoes?
How much was yours for, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it was for, what was the first full month sale? Almost $200.
Oh, you blew me out of the water. My first radio paycheck was $12.
Okay, but that was just one sponsor. Now, I did award my... Don't bring him in yet. Because we know each other well enough that you'll be completely honest with me. Yeah. Like, you are not worried about hurting my feelings, right? So I spent my first paycheck on a new pair of shoes, and I wore them to hockey practice today, and I got so much crap from the dads. Like, all the moms and the kids were like, dude, your shoes were awesome. And, like, the dads hated them. So on the count of three, I want you to show Chris my shoes and be honest, because you don't care what I think. We've known each other 15 years. You tell me if I can pull off these shoes. Ready? One, two, three.
Those are pimping.
Are you seriously, right?
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah, like I even...
Oh, look. I got $200 for shoes. Is nothing. I have an ex-girlfriend. Her name's Satan. she works in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
I bought her a pair of Louboutins for Christmas once.
Yeah, I don't have a pair of
those. Go ahead and ask me how much I spent on those shoes.
How much?
$1,200.
No, you did not. Yes. What is wrong with you?
There was a lot wrong with me during those 3 years.
Well, I guess if you call her Satan. Now, speaking of... I know this is only a segment, too, but can I ask you a really inappropriate question?
Sure.
And let the record be clear that my husband is in the room. So you're 7 foot tall. Okay.
What size shoe do I wear?
No. I'm not interested in that. Have you ever dated a girl or even had like a relationship,
mm-hmm.
like a short one, like an overnight relationship
right.
with someone who's like 5 foot tall, like my height?
Well, my current girlfriend's like 5'3".
Yeah.
And
how does that work out in the bedroom?
As I always say, everyone's the same size laying down.
Yeah, but there's different parts of the body that could be like...
Well, it's... Look, there's not a lot of kissing going on.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. You can't even... I guess you just have kind of to get creative.
Yeah. One of two things has happened. If we're kissing, we're not doing the other. If we're doing the other, there's no kissing. It doesn't work that way.
Do you decide beforehand, like, which way you're going that night?
I mean, not really.
You guys are still, how long have you been dating?
About 6 months.
Okay, so you're still in the honeymoon phase. So things are still, like, romantic and spontaneous.
We try to be, you know, it's really weird because my schedule's crazy with me being out of town a lot. She has a couple of kids.
Yeah.
And she works a couple jobs. So, we try to, like, every Tuesday night is, like, family date night because she'll have the two kids. So we'll do something, her and I and the kids. And then at least one night a week, and we try to have an overnighter.
Right, and that's the night. Night that you get romantic.
Sure. Or we try to, or we just fall asleep because we're old.
Well, listen, because that's what people don't understand is that like most married people are not going to admit this, but when you're married, you schedule sex. You have to.
Yeah.
Especially when you have
a lot
of little kids.
Oh yeah, I've learned that like. Like, spontaneity is for your 20s.
It is.
30s is all about, you know, I got this on Friday. I can schedule you in for a nooner on Friday. Maybe Sunday before we go to breakfast.
If you look at our calendar, like previous months, Jimmy's going to kill me for talking about
booty
this.
Booty night?
No, he doesn't write booty night. He writes bake a casserole.
Hey, everyone's got their term for it.
Oh, my God. Speaking of sexual relations, you know, I actually need Jimmy to come in here for this. Honey! So I'm in a room full of men here. So I've got Hoss here.
Every woman's dream.
Seriously. I'm so used to being surrounded by boys. I'm over it. So I've got Hoss, my producer here. No, Hoss, my co-host. I've got my husband, Jimmy. Say hi, honey.
Hi, honey.
And then way back here in the corner, I've got producer Gary. Can you yell hi?
Hi, can you yell hi? Hey, what's up?
Now, your last name is Weed, right? That's like your given last name?
Miley would love you.
Yes, that's true.
Were you like born to be a pothead?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where it's come from. But I always say my thing is it's a name, not a habit.
Yeah, well, good. So I can just call you Producer Gary. I know a lot of people in your family just go, weed, when they need you.
That weed works fine,
okay,
too.
But if I'm just randomly screaming weed, because I'm in my house. I mean, you guys are in my house right now. So if I'm randomly screaming weed, the kids might get a little worried. So I've got three guys in the room right now. There was an article that Haas actually posted today that I had seen earlier. Now, don't start shouting out your answers.
$1.
No! I want you guys to really think about this, especially Jimmy, because I'm ready to sign you up right now. Have you guys ever known anyone who do those medical studies? for money. Like I had an
I would.
I had an uncle who literally did it for a job. Like my mom. Wow. Yeah.
I think they pay decently.
They
don't
do. Yeah, because my mom would be like, Kelly, can you give Uncle Robbie a ride up to Alton? He's got to go. You know, they like put like rat poison in you, and then he grows a tail, and then they cut it off the next week. Yeah, but then they give you like $2,000.
Wow.
And so, and I even had this a boyfriend, or not a boyfriend, but like a guy I kind of like. He did them for a little while in college, and he'd go away for like 3 days and come back. So
is that what he told you he was doing?
Yeah,
Do you know for sure?
I think it was one of those relationships where I liked him more than he liked me,
and
he was so bored to death that was the only time he would talk to me.
Right.
So I'd call him.
Maybe it was just a side effect.
He had nothing better to do because all he had to do was sit and be monitored, so he'd actually take my phone call. But so anyway, so there's a study that came out today, and I instantly thought of my husband because, like I said, we are moving soon. And we are looking at, you know, some financial ways to get a couple things done. Did you know that a man donated one of his testicles and got $35,000? Now, you posted the article today. Somebody had said it was fake. So I did a little research. It wasn't fake. It really did happen. It doesn't happen all the time. But there was a man who donated his testicle and he got $35,000. So going around the room here, I mean, that is a lot of money.
That is.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with my husband because we have three children together. So we are well past our childbearing age. So, Jimmy, the question is, are you willing to put it on the line to help us get into a better home loan?
35 grand for one nut. We'll do 60 for both.
So you're giving them both up.
Sure. I don't. What do I need
you're
it for?
You're doing the group discount?
Yeah.
All right.
So you would totally do it?
Yeah. I don't care. I've already been snipped. They don't do anything. They're just there for decoration.
And so from what I hear, they don't just chop one off and like leave a dangler. They cut a slit, like remove the inside of the testicle and then put in a fake testicle, like a fake boob. And so you
really?
Back up. Yeah, so it's not like you've got...
So you're still like symmetrical and stuff.
You're still symmetrical. So So Haas, what about you? Now, think about this. Don't just answer because you're on radio.
No, sure.
You're in the waiting room. You're getting where you're on the gurney being wheeled in, and they're removing one of your balls.
You know, I don't have kids of my own yet.
Okay.
I would like to have one.
Okay.
If it could be medically... And I know there's no guarantees in life, but... If I went through the tests and the doctor was like, look, both are healthy. We can remove one.
Yeah.
You'd still be able to have a kid.
Yeah.
Totally. 100%.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, like, we just had Dan Duffy on the show last year or last week. He had to have one of the boys removed from testicular cancer, and he still produced two kids.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. You got two.
Yeah. Why not? Okay. So, Gary, what about you? Are you taking one for the team for 35 grand?
Well, again, considering I'm kind of in the same boat as Jimmy, you know, my kids are grown and... we are not having any more children.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They are, let's just say they are
just not, there for decoration.
Yeah, they're there for decoration. Exactly. They are aesthetic. And so,
yeah,
I think I could probably manage to set that up.
I'm really surprised. I mean, I didn't think any of you guys would go through with it.
I would.
Because
for sure.
You guys are so protective and proud, you know, of your manhood.
That is a macho myth.
I mean, like, you guys barely get, like, bumped there and you act like it's the end of the world.
Oh, it hurts.
Yeah, come on now. It hurts.
Trust me. Like, that's not being put on.
Oh, God.
And it honestly hurts worst when you're grazed as opposed to a full-on punch.
How can it possibly hurt worse than a graze?
There's the delay of like, that didn't hurt. No, yeah, that hurt. I don't know. Like, I don't know the medical science behind it. But
yeah.
I'm telling you, like, I've been hit with a basketball there, and it has not hurt as much as when you, like, take the side of a knee and pass, and you're like, oh, it wasn't too bad.
Oh.
Nope, I'm down. Man down.
Oh, my God.
Get the trainer.
You guys are all wimps. Well, if anybody is interested in more donation, they take eggs, if the girls are interested.
I have a friend who did that. I've heard that she said... That is not a pleasant process.
No, it takes a couple weeks, and it's pretty painful.
Yes.
And then you've got a kid out there walking around that looks like you. And if you're like me, I mean, my children are like clones of myself. So
right.
It would be pretty obvious if I bumped into one of them in the future. You can also donate your sperm for $100.
I would do that. I donated, let's say sell. It's not donation when you're getting paid. I sold... platelets when I was in college.
Oh, we would do that for beer money every
That's
weekend.
What we did.
We'd
drive to Columbia.
Yes.
It takes like an hour and a half. We would watch Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy and The Simpsons.
Yes.
And then we would get paid our $30, go right next door to Shakespeare's Pizza, have a pizza and a pitcher, and be wasted.
Yes. It was great because they would take all that blood out of you.
Such a cheap date.
Wow. Yes, I'll never forget it with selling my plasma in college back at the old SIUC for beer money for the weekend. A lot of fun. All right, guys, we'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
What you doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round, I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show, giving a shout out to Rocky's little hockey buddy, Bobby Scott. I walked in the ice rink the other day, and I had two different people say, Bobby Scott's looking for you. And you got to know Bobby. He is the funniest and most inappropriate kid you've ever met in your life because everything that comes out of his mouth is hysterical.
Nice.
So why is Bobby looking for me? The kid's like 10 and he's a black belt in MMA.
Wow.
And so he finds me and he's like, Ms. Mano, I love your radio show.
Awesome.
And I'm like, you know, because I can see how many people are listening to my show, but I don't know who's listening.
Sure.
So, you know, anytime somebody comes up and tells me they're listening to the show, I get really excited. So I said, thank you, Bobby. Pick any song you want me to play, and I'll play it for you. And he picked the Humpty Dance. So that is going out to Bobby Scott.
In fact, the ratings just came in. You are number one with 10-year-olds in Granite City, Illinois.
Awesome.
All
I
right.
have a trivia question on this song, though.
Yeah.
Do you know who's in Digital Underground in this song?
No, who?
Tupac.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
You're full of crap.
Tupac is actually in a Digital Underground video.
Correct.
That you can find online.
And he's in the, what's that horrible Chevy Chase movie with Dan Aykroyd where he's the judge? And Digital Underground shows up in the movie and Pac's in it.
That's right.
Yeah, all right. Listen, boys, enough of your lies. I got some business to take care of. Speaking of hockey, you know, we've got Rocky who plays hockey and baseball. If you have a son or daughter or a little athlete in the family that you are looking to take to the next level, let me introduce you to Carmela Mattingly. She is starting a kids' strength and conditioning class. It's actually a class that she taught a little while ago, and I talked her into bringing it back. She is a power lifter. She holds over 25 first-place titles in competitions, and when she's not busy being a badass, she's got three awesome little kids. So the class is for kids of all abilities, whether you have a kid who is just not eating properly, not doing good nutrition, or, you know, needs to learn a little bit about taking care of his body, she's going to do it for you, because sometimes it takes more than mom or dad to motivate these kids to get them going.
Sure.
I can tell my kids things until they're blue in the face, but if somebody else tells them, they actually listen.
The coach says it, it's real.
Exactly. So I can tell Rocky till I'm blue in the face, don't eat a Pop-Tart when you go home from hockey, and he doesn't listen.
Right.
But somebody like Mark, like Carmela, is going to take the time to not only teach these kids proper nutrition, a lot of them will be their first time, you know, conditioning and lifting weights. It's basically
right.
like an off-ice training. So if you want to get your kiddo, your 9 to 12-year-old, in Carmela's strength and conditioning class for kids, give her a call. Her number is 314-651-6402. What's that number again, Haas?
314-651-6402.
Call Carmela, tell her that Kelly Mano recommended her and that you want to get her in the kids class.
And if I may add something,
yes.
As someone who used to play college basketball,
yeah.
strength and conditioning is just as important as doing anything related to your individual sport. I don't care if you're playing football,
mm-hmm.
hockey, basketball, tennis.
Yep.
As much time as you spend doing skills for your sport, you need to spend as much time on strength and conditioning.
We're just getting to that age with Rocky. It's been all fun and games until now. He's almost 11, and so I always thought around 11 to 12 is when we kind of get him going on conditioning. And we want him to love working out. We want it to be fun
Absolutely.
For him.
It shouldn't be a chore.
Yeah, and so Carmela, she's just so good with the kids. Now, speaking of kids, you know, last night, Chris, when you came to our house, mm-hmm. you got a chance to see the Mano House in action.
I did. It's my first time. It was awesome.
Like, you got to see, like, the real deal. Like, we don't hide back. You saw the pig drink an energy drink.
Which was great.
And then the pig chased it with a Coca-Cola.
As you do.
Yeah, we're trying to watch the VMAs, which are horribly inappropriate.
Sure.
And we have kids running all over the place. One of those kids is our very own Libby Lou Mano. Libby Lou, can you say hi?
Hi.
Hi, Libby Lou.
Do you see this really big guy over here?
Yeah.
Is he kind of funny? So the whole reason that I started this show was because my last little baby went off to college, or not college, went off to kindergarten.
Same thing.
So I made this funny video when, you know, sending my babies off to school. I really do have the house to myself all day.
Yeah.
And so we are on our third show. So Libby Lou is going to be going off into her third week of kindergarten.
Nice.
So I thought we would just check in with her and say hi and ask her how it's going. So Libby Lou, how was your first couple weeks of kindergarten?
Thumbs up.
Yeah. What is your favorite part about kindergarten?
Recess and art.
Recess and art. What is your favorite game to play at recess?
Is it Who Knows TJ Yoshi? I bet you win that game.
You know what? She was in her ballet class and tried telling the little girls in ballet that TJ Oshi sent her a jersey, and they didn't know who TJ Oshi was, and she was horribly offended.
Well, I'm telling you, you're automatically the coolest kindergartner I know.
Yeah.
You're probably one of the coolest people I know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We need to visit that later, because I haven't even brought that up yet. Now, Libby Lou, what happened the other day in your class with the gingerbread man?
When we were at church, and my teacher was there too, and then when we came back, we didn't see the gingerbread man anymore, so we needed to search to find him, and he gave us clues and had to, and he gave us juice boxes and cookies.
So did you ever see him, or did he just run away and leave you candy? Did you ever see him?
Well, the first one, he said he was in the library reading a book.
Aww.
And nice. I think he found like a book with foods in it, so he could make like cookies.
He's good. Okay, wow. And what is this you brought home the other day? I just saw this. Look at that artwork.
That's
Hoss.
Awesome. That's better than what I do, and I'm 38.
So who is this guy, and what is this picture underneath it?
My first day of school, and I was hiding under the table.
Oh, because you were kind of scared. Yeah, but you like it now, don't you?
Uh-huh.
And you've been a good girl. You've been very good. What happens if you're not good in school? What happens? What sky do you go into?
Stormy.
The stormy sky. Yeah, and she's done great.
I was very afraid that she was going to answer she gets the hose again, and I was going to have to leave the house.
There's no hosing of children. Well, Libby Lou, I love you very much, and I'm so glad you came to be on my radio show, and you need to get going. So can you say bye to everybody?
Bye-bye.
Bye,
have
everybody.
Fun.
See you later.
Meow, meow.
Oh, is your cat talking? All right.
And the dog.
All right. All right, honey, if you could escort our little one off to school, that would be great. Yeah, you can take him off. Okay, I love you. See you later. Yeah, so those who don't know, our littlest Libby Lou was in a little bit of a viral video last month.
A little bit?
Yeah, just a little bit. And, you know, it's funny because my husband and I always joke that we're the media whore manos, because it just seems like we always end up
on... Your kids are everywhere.
Well, let me explain something. So, yeah, Rocky is currently in a St. Louis Cardinals commercial.
Of course.
Now, Lucy is actually represented by a talent agent and legitimately works and, like, makes money.
Okay.
Like, crap, more than we do. And then Libby Lou had a viral video. So
right.
It's all three different things.
Well, and I remember last year, like, we went to the Blues...
Icebreaker.
The icebreaker thing. And he gets a puck from Stasny, I think.
And then
he's on the front page of the website.
Now, let me tell you.
And then Lucy is, like, introducing players at the Cardinals game. Like, I want to be adopted by the Manos.
Everybody wants to be adopted by us. And so, yeah, the icebreaker thing for the Blues, there had to be, like, 4,000 or 5,000 people there.
It was insane.
And of all the people, some photographer that I did not know takes this amazing shot of Rocky, and the Blues used it all year for publicity. And yeah. It was awesome. And then the Lucy thing, that was just a giveaway. Like, we went to Great Clips to get her hair cut, and like, we filled out a thing that said be the PA for the day. Of course she won.
Of course.
My kids win
because
every...
she's a mano.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I had that kind of luck growing up, so I kind of feel like I passed it on to my kids. And so, yeah, so they're always doing something. And so Libby Lou, the day that we traded T.J. Oshie, you know, we're a big hockey family. Sure. We're a big sports family.
Absolutely.
We love baseball. We love hockey. There's so much crap on TV. That's like the one thing that we can all watch as a family is sports. Sure. And the kids love sports. And so I was actually sitting here at this very desk the day that my husband texted me and said we traded Oshie, and I could hear Rocky and Libby Lou already fighting in the other room because something had happened. And I walked back there. I was actually just going back to tell Rocky that we had mm-hmm. traded Oshie because he took the Pujols news pretty bad a couple years ago.
Right.
So I thought, okay, I'm gonna break this to him gingerly. And Libby Lou was already mad about something. And I said, you know, Rocky, I'm trying to tell you something serious. You're not even listening. The Blues just traded Oshie, and Libby Lou lost her mind. And what you didn't see was there was like at least a minute of a fit before I start recording, because she went and locked herself in her bedroom. So I needed time to go get a butter knife and come and pick her lock to get into her in her closet and find her crying. And, you know, me taking a video of Libby Lou having a meltdown is nothing new. I take at least one a week. I mean, she's our third kid, so you just kind of give up by then.
Sure.
And so I posted it on Facebook for my husband about 4:30 and said, you know, check out this funny video of Libby Lou. Posted it at 4:30, left with Rocky. He had a 6 o'clock baseball game. And by the fourth inning, my phone rang and it was ESPN.
Yeah.
I mean, so when people say these videos take off fast, I mean, they mean like lightning speed.
Oh, yeah.
And it was funny because my internet actually wasn't working very well on my phone that particular day. So I couldn't see anything. I was just getting phone calls from people. I knew Libby Lou was at home with a babysitter. So I had to call the babysitter and said, I need you to turn off all the televisions, because it was 9 o'clock and I knew she was going to be on every station, and nobody informed her.
Right, right.
So then we turned down a lot of interviews.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, we started getting interview requests right away, and we turned them all down.
Where was the furthest interview request you got?
What was the one that was in a different language? Was that Germany?
Wow.
Well, we heard from the United...
I know BBC.
London. Yeah, you know, the where the prince and princess are. London? England? Yes,
correct. You were great at geography.
Absolutely. So we turned down a ton of
the
interviews.
Midwest is Missouri. You think the Middle East is Ohio, right?
No. So the only interview that we actually did was the one with TJ, because right. I thought, you know what? We drug him into this whole freaking mess.
Sure.
So if they want to put a bow on it in the media, and when they called me and they said, you know, TJ wants to call her on the air, I said, I don't think that's a good idea. Because
she's five. What?
She won't even talk to her grandma on the phone.
Right.
You know, so if you wake her up in the middle of the, you know, middle of the morning and stick something in her ear and tell her it's a hockey player on the phone,
uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not going to go well. And they said, we don't care. She's a kid. It'll be funny no matter what. And we want you to come on with her. You took the nice. Video. And I said, no way. You know, I'm a photographer. Some of these sports guys are my clients. And I was not going to go on SportsCenter and hold up my trophy baby. And then I hear my husband in the background.
I'll do it.
He's like, I wanted to be on SportsCenter since I was five.
And you didn't plug our hockey team.
I know. Seriously, I'm a proud member of what we call the Keenan's Castaways.
Oh, God,
hockey team.
Don't talk about your stupid.
I'm also
a
member of the St. Louis Pirates Hockey Club, LLC, and I didn't plug either of my hockey teams, which was a tremendous
listen.
I had to
beg him not to hold Libby Lou up like the Lion King baby, like, oh, I'm finally on SportsCenter.
Well, I knew it would happen eventually. Not quite the way that I anticipated.
Sure.
Yeah, so that was her big debut on SportsCenter, and she did pretty much as expected. She yawned twice and fell out of the chair at least once.
Well, look, I think the greatest moment of that SportsCenter interview is how she is all smiles when she realizes that TJ's talking to her.
Right, because mm-hmm. she was legitimately
everything
excited.
Everything is great
yeah.
until TJ asks her straight up, so are you going to be a Capitals fan now? Smile gone.
Gone,
yep.
Yeah.
No, she was truly conflicted because that was her big problem, was that, you know, she knew that she couldn't cheer for him anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and I think to a deeper level, that is why that video went so viral. You know, yeah. any sports fan, you do connect with these players on an emotional level. You don't, you can't watch someone on TV 82 times a year and not get some sort of a connection, like they are friends or family.
Yeah.
And when they leave, it hurts.
It's I'm still pissed. I mean, like, so when he first got traded, you know, it was like just a crazy weekend in the Mano house of media people and just nutty. And once that started to fade away, I remember I was walking through the mall and I passed a sports store, and right there in the front was a whole rack of Oshie jerseys half with off. A big sign on the top that said clearance.
Yep.
And I just thought, damn it, this sucks.
I think we all, any Blues fan who really is like a diehard Blues fan. Yeah. I think we knew this was coming after the season. We knew that somebody was going to go and that Oshie was going to be the lamb.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make it hurt any less.
No.
And we all knew it was coming.
No, and I knew Libby would hurt. She and I had several deep conversations about it. In fact, that entire following weekend, we watched Miracle and Rudy and Field of Dreams on repeat just to try to handle her sports emotions.
You are so... You know what me and Libby Lou watched last night?
What's that?
You're going to be so mad. Straight Out of Compton.
Nice. Oh yeah, we got a slightly not legal copy on DVD.
Let's talk about Straight Outta Compton when we get back. Okay. We actually got to go to break, and I promised Hoss, I promised him I'd play some Guns N' Roses.
Shh, Jesus is about to sing.
Shut up, Jesus with Botox.
Now, not when this was recorded.
It's the Kelly Mano Radio Show. We are going to be right back.
I love you, Axel.
She finally found a job
that doesn't require a bra. The Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
Cruising down the street in my 6'4", jocking the freaks, clocking the dough. Went to the park to get the scoop. Knuckleheads out there, cold shooting some hoop. A car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino rolling Kilo G. He rolled down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that GTA. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said.
Oh, it is the Kelly Mano Radio Show, Monday morning. I think I mentioned last break that I think my Mother of the Year trophy has officially been taken away because Libby Lou was in bed with me last night watching Straight Outta Compton. In my defense, I did make her go under the covers and turn the other way and play on her phone. So does that, am I still a good mom then?
I think you're a better mom for letting her watch it.
Yeah, you know.
Kids these days need to know about NWA. Rap these days is corny and soft.
Well, I will never forget the day. See, Libby Lou is like, she's our third baby. She's a night owl. And so she would stay up with me late. And back in the day when Jimmy Fallon was on really, really late, she'd always stay up and watch it with me. And her and I were up eating like, you know, cheese puffs in bed at midnight.
Sure.
And Jimmy Fallon was interviewing Ice Cube, and I had just told her. She said, who is that? I said, his name is Ice Cube, and he's a rapper. And a few minutes later, Jimmy walks in the room, and he's like, what are you two doing? It's almost, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. And Libby Lou, at like 4 years old, said, move, Dad, I can't see Ice Cube. And he about lost. Obviously, I just told her who it was. But anyway, so yeah, so I made it through about half of Straight Outta Compton.
Okay.
And then I fell asleep because I'm an old lady and I just can't. But you saw the movie and you loved it, right?
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
It is obviously a well-edited, squeaky clean, scrubbed image for Dre and Cube.
That was squeaky clean?
Did Dre hit any women in the movie? Because he did in real life quite
a bit.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Aww.
There's well-documented cases of it.
Oh, geez. See, now, NWA is before my time. So okay. My first introduction to rap. So I had a friend who grew up in North City, Melissa and Brian, moved in down the street from me when I was like in fifth or sixth grade. And they still had some friends that lived in North City. And so we would go visit them, which literally gave my mom a heart attack.
Right.
But this family had these two kids that were like, you know, pretty much gangsters.
Right.
And I will never forget this. Mikey, the older kid, played me Eazy-E's Real Mother Effin' G's.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that was the first time I had ever heard a real rap song. And it was like, why haven't I heard this music before? And I was a freshman in high school. And I just fell in love with rap music.
Yeah.
I never talked like I was black. I never dressed like I was black. I never acted like I was black. But I was the only girl on the Granite City Palm Squad who owned Eazy-E albums. And
nice.
I used to lie to my mom. I told her I was going to an En Vogue concert. And I went and saw I went and saw Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Nice. Well, and there you go. One degree separation from NWA.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, literally all my girlfriends are like listening to Ace of Base. And I've got the Bloods and Crips CD.
Nice.
I had no business owning that CD. But then eventually by like my junior or senior year, you know, rap caught on.
For sure.
And it was like this big thing. And these people were, especially when like, you know, Crossroads came out with like Bone Thugs and Harmony.
When did you graduate?
96.
Okay, so you're a year behind me.
Yeah. And so all these people are like losing their mind. I'm like, dude, this is our second album. You should
right.
go back and listen to the first one. And so I am rarely ahead of the trend on anything. You'll not hear me brag about that. But rap music was one of them. And that's why, you know, on this show, I play the music that I like.
Right.
And so it's going to be a lot of that. And so... You have a story about Suge Knight.
I have a few stories about Suge Knight.
Suge Knight scares every time I see him.
Dude.
I get scared. Like I sleep
as you should.
I sleep better at night knowing he's in jail, even though I have zero connection to
Look,
him.
Anyone who could be in the car with Pac when Pac gets shot six times and dies,
right?
And you get grazed,
right?
Come on now,
right?
Come on now, buddy.
Yeah, you know when I went, I did an internship in L.A. whenever I was in college, and one of the first things I wanted to do was go see where Biggie was shot. You know. Because
it's a street corner next to a museum.
Yeah, I mean, all of that happened at a time when I loved rap music so much, and mm-hmm. it was a lot. It was hard to handle. And
are you a West Coast or East Coast?
A little bit of both.
100% West Coast.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I just bought my husband and I matching. Hey, honey, Jimmy, go. Hey, first of all, turn the air conditioning on because I'm burning up. And second of all, go get our new T-shirts.
Okay.
So I was at the mall the other day. And I had to get my Apple phone fixed. And you go to the Apple store, and they told me it was a 45-minute wait. And
sure.
So I texted Jimmy, and I said, hey, do you need anything at the mall? I got 45 minutes to kill. He's like, yeah. He's like, you know what? I'm feeling a little chubby lately, and my large shirts aren't fitting very well, so can you get me an extra large shirt? And he didn't say what kind of shirt to get.
Just an extra large.
Right. And then I came across...
Mistake one.
Yeah. And then I came across this Indian man at a kiosk.
Of course.
And he had all these amazing shirts. And so I ended up getting us matching Thug Life Tupac shirts.
Hell yes.
There it is. There it is.
Yes.
Is that not amazing?
That is awesome.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be like a poser. Like legit Tupac was probably the greatest rapper that ever lived, at least in my opinion.
So now I officially have and wear both Tupac and Biggie t-shirts.
You know,
so.
That's amazing.
I'm getting my radio, like I'm getting headshots done for mm-hmm. the show because we're going to actually start branding it and pretending like this is a real thing here soon. I think I'm going to wear my Tupac shirt in the...
You should.
Why not? I freaking love him. He's amazing.
But
you should wear
enough,
the Adidas
Mom,
shoes
too.
Who get who?
You should wear those. You should wear the shoes you got too.
I know my hip shoes that everybody's making fun of with my Thug Life shirt. Whatever.
You would have been in heaven having my job in L.A. just to work out of the headquarters of Interscope Records.
Yeah.
Back from like I worked in the L.A. office from 03 to 05.
Yeah.
Was
that when all the good rappers were? They were
well,
all dead
that,
by then, right?
Oh yeah, it was well past the Death Row days.
Yeah.
But like. You know, Eminem would be in there all the time. 50
yeah.
Cent, The
yeah.
Game, Dre.
Yeah. yeah.
Suge was there.
God, so tell me what it's like to be in the presence of Suge Knight.
The temperature in the room lowers by about 10 degrees. You feel very uneasy.
Yeah.
The best / worst story I have is on the floor that I worked, and I worked in radio promo,
yeah.
around the corner from us was our art department, and they
yeah.
were in charge of... airbrushing the covers of CDs so that, you know, the women looked sexier than they
oh,
really are.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But my friend Amanda, who was one of the head artists, like, knew nothing about music. She was there for art, knew nothing about
yeah.
anyone,
yeah.
didn't know who anyone was. So we're leaving one night, And our side of the building, fifth floor, was where Jimmy Iovine's office was, who was at the time the CEO of Nesco. I don't know if you've made it to the part in the movie yet where Jimmy shows up.
Yes, I have. Okay. That was like right where I started to doze off.
Where Suge and Dre...
Yes. Okay. Like I made far enough to see Suge in the movie.
Okay. So we're leaving for the day. And the interview, the elevator opens up on the third floor. And Suge Knight is staring me in the eyes. And I'm like, nah, I'm not getting on that elevator.
Who's bigger, you or Suge?
I'm taller. He's bigger.
Yeah.
And dude is solid.
He's scary.
Yeah. So my little friend Amanda, who's about your height,
right,
has no idea who it is, just walks onto the elevator. Sure. And I'm just like, oh my God, I cannot let you be alone on an elevator with Suge Knight.
So chivalry
kicks in, and I jump on the elevator.
Some people go on an elevator with Suge Knight, and you never see them again.
Correct. So as we're descending in the elevator, Amanda starts bitching about how horrible and idiotic our security is in the building. And I was like, are you really talking about how inept our security is right now next to Suge M. F. and Knight?
Yeah.
And Suge's like laughing with her. Like, yeah. Suge invites her to go out with his gang on that. And I was like, no, you have plans.
Yeah. Well, you know, on TMZ, somebody knocked him out a couple years ago, or like only like
that
2 years ago.
Brave dude.
How is that guy still alive?
Is he? Are you sure?
I think Suge has maybe like lost his connections in the pin.
So the way our office worked post 9/11 was you would get to the lobby and then you'd have to walk across our lobby to the garage elevators.
Yeah.
So Amanda, again, is talking about how stupid and inept and idiotic our security is. We all get into those elevators because, again, Amanda has no idea who we're walking
with. Right, right,
right. Suge grabs the doors of the elevator, pries them apart, leans out and looks at our security guard and goes, bye, stupid, and lets them shut. And Amanda's like, you're so funny. And like they're laughing and I'm in the corner like, I'm going to die.
You've already pissed your pants.
So he gets off at P1 where all the valet is. And the door shut, and I go, you have no idea who we were just on the elevator with. Were you?
Yeah.
And she's like, no. And I go, Suge Knight. And she looks at me blank, and I go, Tupac? The guy who hung Vanilla Ice off of a roof?
By his ankles?
She's like, oh. And like, and it finally sets in. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that guy. The guy who knows where all the bodies are buried.
I love when regular people have no idea who celebrities are. Jimmy can witness my next story. My mom once walked in Kim Kardashian's posse. So listen, this was right when Kim was getting big. And there was a Ameristar had this home nightclub opening.
Oh, I remember
and
that.
The big thing was that Kim Kardashian was going to come walk the red carpet, right?
Blech.
Yeah. So I was hired as a photographer for the red carpet.
Sure.
So I'm waiting for this dumbass to come down. I mean,
literally dumbass.
Oh, she was like 2 hours late. Okay.
Of course. Had
been there forever. And so my mom and dad, who like literally get excited over everything I do, wanted to come watch me take pictures of Kim Kardashian.
Sure.
Really boring sounding, but they wanted to do it. So my mom and dad are sitting on this bench. Like, she was supposed to come down at, like, 11 o'clock. At this point, it's, like, 1 in the morning. My dad is asleep against a pole. My mom had gone to the bathroom for, like, the fourth time. And all of a sudden, I hear the media scuffle going, okay? And so I turn my camera around and I frame it up. And here comes Kim Kardashian. And she's walking with her best friend, Brittany Gastineau, with about 3 security guards. And right behind them is this head, like just perfectly in the middle of 2 girls. And it's my mother.
Fantastic.
At 1 o'clock in the morning wearing no bra.
Fantastic.
And walking.
Neither
like,
was Kim, probably.
My poor mom was half asleep, no makeup, hair in a mess, you know, boobs a swinging. And she
awesome.
Has no idea that she's in the posse with Kim Kardashian and in all of my photos.
Oh, she's completely oblivious. I mean,
that is brilliant.
Oh, yeah. All the flashes are going off. And
oh, couldn't happen to a nicer lady.
Because a couple of smaller celebrities had come through already.
Right.
So I guess she just assumed that it was one of them. She had no idea that she was literally walking in Kim Kardashian's
posse.
No
one should know who Kim Kardashian is. Let's be honest. She has no rightful reason to be famous.
As Joel McHale from The Soup
Big
says.
Big button sex tape.
Joel McHale is hysterical. Why are you hating on Joel McHale?
What are you saying? No,
we're
I said,
not.
Like Joel McHale says, she's only
oh,
famous for having
I thought
a big
you were
button.
Being, yeah, no, she is. That is all she's famous for.
Yeah. And my friend told me, I haven't watched it, but my friend says that she's awful in that sex tape.
Oh, is she? Yeah, I'm sure you haven't seen it.
I think the word dead fish would be an appropriate term.
Yeah, no, let me say, I get that she's beautiful. And
no,
I know,
she's
I
not.
Know a lot of
she
people,
looks like a goat.
Well, you know who's the hottest in the family is Courtney. Courtney yeah. is beautiful.
I agree.
Chloe is awesome. I love her. But Kim and the mother, Chris, oh my, they're just terrible. If you've ever watched...
Chris is the worst human being on Earth.
Her and Kim are like at a tie. Like, it's like Chris gave birth to herself, and it was Kim.
Yeah.
And they are two of the most horrible human beings I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I agree.
Gary, do you watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians in your house?
Yes, I can...
Why?
Well, I'm married. And I'm married to an Italian woman.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
So I do what she says.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that's pretty much how it goes. So, Haas, thank you for hanging out with me today.
Yeah, this
now,
is fun.
Before we go, I want you to plug your podcast because you do an awesome blues podcast, right?
Well, thanks. I try.
Yeah.
Myself and Jason Martin, who's the host, I am the co-host, have the Blues Hockey Podcast. It's a very original title.
Thank you.
We
very original.
Very hard on it. We're on iTunes. You can look for us at Blues Hockey Podcast. We have a website, blueshockeypodcast.com.
Yeah.
We're on
now,
Twitter.
Do you guys do like once a week or just every game?
We try to do once a week.
Yeah.
At least, you know, if something important happens, we might do like a short one in between. But once the season starts up, we try to go at least once a week.
All right. So
we'll
you guys
coming
are...
back next month. We're going to do season previews for the whole league, not just the Blues. But then once the season starts, we're pretty much Blue Central.
We're going to have a lot to talk about. So maybe you can come back on the show once the puck drops.
Yeah.
And
I would
season's
love to.
In full swing because I love talking hockey.
Anytime you
yeah,
want.
Yeah. And producer Gary, you're a hockey fan too, right?
Big time.
And my husband? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're all in good company here. So we have lots to talk about. Haas, thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you
it
for having me.
It was so much fun. Thank you to everybody who has listened again. I will say it again. If you like the show, share the show. That's how people listen. That keeps me going. And I will, I'll see you next Monday on the Kelly Mano Radio Show. Went to her house to get her out of the pad. Dumb girl said something that made me mad. She said something that I couldn't believe. So I grabbed a stupid girl by a basket weave. She started talking trash. Wouldn't you know? Reached back, caught myself. I had to go. Her father John. Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.